From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Next Tuesday's primary is the first election with newly drawn political boundaries in the state. Political redistricting happens every 10 years and can have fairly significant impacts on the election process and voting. In recent decades, Republicans and Democrats have shared control of Wisconsin's legislature and the governor's office. But after the last election, Republicans controlled everything. And by law, as long as they didn't disenfranchise any minority groups, they could draw political boundaries any way they'd want to. Republicans did just that, settling on a political map that favors strengthening their majorities in Congress and the state legislature. And that caused Democrats to cry foul. UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim is a longtime observer of Wisconsin politics. He told WPR's John Davis that what Republicans did is legal, despite the criticism and what looks like very partisan line drawing.
In 2000, in 1990, and I believe in 1980, the parties had mixed control of the legislature, and thus the courts actually decided the redistricting. And some people might think that's a fair way of doing it, but the fact is what they did is they took the Democratic plan, Republican plan, and kind of blended the two together. They didn't want to sit there and draw lines. So this is probably a very partisan, but not necessarily the worst in all time. I will tell you, and I remind everybody, it's legal. It's perfectly legal to draw the lines to advantage one party over the other. If you draw lines, however, to disadvantage a minority group, it's unconstitutional. And by the way, there was a lawsuit in the Milwaukee area about Hispanic voting being essentially marginalized. So the courts actually took that up. But the rest of it, they said it's partisan, it's perfectly legitimate. And so the lines are, to be blunt, very much more should benefit the Republicans more than the Democrats. Because they're in charge. Senate, the Assembly, their governor, they're all in the same party. So they can do that.
Historically, when's the last time we've seen a situation like this in Wisconsin where one party controlled everything and was able at redistricting time to chart the future, so to speak, of these political races?
I have to tell you, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one because it's at least 40 to 50 years back. And I don't recall, I was trying to think of 1970, whether or not one party controlled, or 1960. And off the top of my head, I don't know that. So it's been a long time. And frankly, even if the parties have mixed control, what they ended up doing is drawing the lines to advantage incumbents. So it isn't necessarily Democrat or Republican, but it's incumbent. So to get enough votes in the legislature, if it's bipartisan, you have to make the incumbents happy. So you draw the line so the incumbents basically like it. You can't totally undo in the other party's chances of winning. It's just not possible because Wisconsin is, when it's all said and done, a pretty much a bipartisan state. You know, relatively even number of Democrats and Republicans. So drawing those lines, you can sort of advantage. You can change a district that's, say, 50-50 Republican to, say, 55-45 Republican. When I say those numbers, I mean the pattern of a particular area. But even then, the best laid plans of mice and men don't always result in what the outcome is. For example, in 10 years ago, the 94th and 95th district in our area were redrawn to advantage the 94th being more Republican, right? I mean, that was the way it was. Mike Hipsch was the state representative then. I think Mark Meyer was the representative for the 95th, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, so Mike's hip district, the 94th, was supposed to become more and more Republican. Well, what happened last spring? The party shifted. In other words, the 94th is now in the hands of State Representative Steve Doyle. So even though you may draw those lines at one point to think you've got the outcome, people move around, things change, and it's not guaranteed.
Do you still consider the 94th a strong Republican district?
Most voters don't know much about redistricting, and I'm going to be honest with you, most people don't care. It's one of those things that's like inside politics. Legislators, they know those lines. They've memorized those lines. They know where everybody lives. They know who's who and where their opponents, potential opponents, are going to be. With that said, the redrawing of the 94th and 95th marginally shifted a few Republicans into the 94th, making it a little bit more Republican district, but not a lot. In the 95th, the Republicans apparently decided it was going to stay Democratic, so they shifted a few Democrats into that district. So essentially, the 94th is a little bit marginally more Republican, and the 95th is marginally a little more Democratic. So that's kind of the – around here, that's not going to – in other words, I guess I'm going to tell you this. Shelby, which is kind of a district that goes either way, it, a little more of that is in Steve Doyle's district, the 94th. And if I remember right, Campbell is now in the 95th, which is sort of a Democratic area for the most part. There's a little trivia I have to at least pass on to you. There's some rules about drawing lines. The districts are supposed to be contiguous, and they're not supposed to have odd shapes and things. In the middle of the south side of La Crosse, the town hall of Shelby is in a triangular area. That is in the 94th district. So there's an island in the middle of the south side of La Crosse, which is 95th, which is actually part of the 94th. So there are probably maybe 100, 200 voters in that little triangular area that actually live in Shelby, but they're in an island. So I kind of laugh about it, but essentially it means the 94th is in two pieces.
Either locally or statewide, are there examples of how the map was drawn? Does it benefit the incumbents, or does it benefit Republicans in this case?
Well, I'll use one example because it's a western Wisconsin. If you kind of imagine the state of Wisconsin, the 3rd Congressional District, which is Congressman Ron Kind's district, has gone Republican in the past. He's been in charge of it for quite some time. Think of it as kind of a crescent from Hudson in the far north all the way down to the border with Illinois, down to Grand County. That's the way it was for 10 years. This year, instead of a crescent, if you can imagine a crescent that lost the top of the crescent, which is St. Croix County, it's now basically looks like a Y. Now, the part of the Y that cuts right into the middle of Wisconsin goes all the way over to Stevens Point and to Wisconsin Rapids. Now, you might wonder why a crescent district has turned into a Y-shaped district. And the answer is there's about 5,000 Republican voters in St. Croix County that they wanted to shift into a new Republican rookies district. That's the far north. That's the Sean Duffy district. So he picked up roughly 5,000 new Republican voters, and he foisted off 5,000 Democratic voters from Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point. Those are now in Ron Kind's district, which actually makes Ron Kind's district safer, but it also makes Sean Duffy a little more likely to win re-election.
Gerrymandering is usually the term that's associated with redistricting. What is gerrymandering for those who are not familiar with it? Why is it a negative term, and do we have gerrymandering going on in Wisconsin?
It's generally considered a negative term, and if I remember correctly, it goes back to Great Britain. I hope this is right in my old history here, that they drew a district that looked, in fact, like a giant, like a bird, actually. It was zigzagged all over the place and had little nooks and crannies everywhere. And that was drawn for the advantage of a particular legislator, basically. In Wisconsin or in, I'm trying to think, in North Carolina had a case that actually went to the Supreme Court where they drew a line in such a way to create a district that was primarily African American. If you looked at it, you would see the line is not, it's just all over the place. And that's kind of what gerrymandering is, drawing lines to advantage one or the other, disregarding typical political boundaries or geographical boundaries for the sole purpose of moving people in and out of a district to advantage one party or the other. But as I said before, it's legal if it's done for partisan purposes. That's what gerrymandering is.
So we very well could have it going on here.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. There's some districts, if you talk to legislators off the record, they will tell you that they went after certain people. The Republicans had control, so they drew the lines. For example, some of the Democrats who ran against Republicans in the recall elections last year found that the new districts disadvantaged them substantially. In other words, they paid a price for challenging Republicans in a recall elections. Some of them did, anyway.
I know because of population shifts, some of the boundaries that may have been fairly well aligned, for example, if you voted in the 7th district in the city of La Crosse, chances are pretty good for your county board member you voted for the 7th district in the past. It's my understanding that some of those lines may have shifted a bit, so now you may vote, and I shouldn't be picking on the 7th district, but you may vote in one for one numeral for the city and a different numeral for the county in the past. I realize it won't affect this election, but it will affect spring elections. Is there some concern that there will be some confusion with this?
I don't doubt that at all. The county moved from 35 districts to 29, and to shrink the number on the county board. And, of course, you should also know that the population of the county has sort of shifted more towards the suburbs from the city. The city has been pretty stable, but the suburbs are growing. So essentially more of county districts had to come from the suburbs. If they had simply drawn, and by the way, they did draw the map for the county, which included the city of La Crosse, the city would have lost, I believe, did lose. I think there was 3 or 4 seats in the county board. What the county wanted was the city of La Crosse, the city council, to use the exact same lines and thus shrink the city council. They refused. And the result is you've got essentially something like 11 or 12 county board districts in the city of La Crosse and 17 city council districts in La Crosse. Obviously, those numbers don't match up, and therefore the lines are different. And therefore, in some cases, people are going to be voting in one place for one election, and perhaps the following spring, this is a spring issue, by the way, they may have to vote someplace else. It isn't a massive number, but it's going to cause confusion.
It won't be a situation where somebody has to go cast one ballot in one district and another ballot at a different polling place.
Normally, it shouldn't happen. We normally do not vote for county supervisors on the same spring ballot as we would for city council members. So unless there's some kind of a special election at some point for, say, a city council member, it shouldn't really happen. But essentially, people may have to pay attention to, like, say, next spring election versus the following spring election. The county is a 2-year term, and the city council is a 4-year term. So it shouldn't be a major problem. You're not going to have to vote, for example, in one spot and then immediately drive over to another spot. That should never occur.
The big change legislatively in this area is, it's my understanding, to the north of La Crosse in the 91st and 92nd. Districts. Could you explain what happened there?
Sparta and Toma, which used to be part of the Kathleen Vinault's district immediately north of us, has shifted into another state senate district. And actually, if I remember right, the state senator, Julie Lassa, Democrat, she's from the Stevens Point area. Sparta and Toma are now part of her district. It's the 70th. I actually had to look this up because I had it wrong. But the 91st, 92nd, 93rd, which is north of us, is kind of the Eau Claire district, shall we say. But Sparta and Toma have now become part of a district which includes Stevens Point. And that's going to be a bit of a change for a lot of people.
I know we had talked a bit about the 3rd District congressional area. Anything else you want to add about that that's different this time around?
Not substantially. It really has to do with some, not immediately La Crosse area, but the Monroe and Jackson, some of the lines are drawn so that more of those voters are, the Republican voters are in Sean Duffy's district. They've moved essentially out of Ron Kind's district into the far north district. And I said Stevens Point and, Stevens Point and Wisconsin Rapids are now part of Ron Kind's district. But all in all, for most people, it isn't going to make any major differences to them.
Are there any other concerns either statewide or locally with redistricting and how it could impact on voting this fall?
It isn't going to change this fall because most of the, we're talking about statewide races, basically, for the most part. It's not going to make any major difference. But because the districts have been designed by Republicans to advantage Republicans, there's a general perception that, for example, you are aware that the state Senate shifted control to the Democrats. I think a lot of observers think that's going to be undone in November because the lines have been drawn in such a way to advantage Republican state senators and candidates in general. Same is true for the assembly. That is going to affect some of the outcomes of the elections, and we won't know until November whether or not party control changes. But a lot of people seem to think that the Republicans have drawn those districts in such a way to ensure they're going to control the Assembly and regain control of the state Senate.
What does it mean long term, say the next 10 years?
Well, depending on what side of the fence you're on, Democrats think that they will be disadvantaged for the next 10 years unless they can redraw them. By the way, legally, they can redraw if they, for example, took over the governorship and the Senate and Assembly, they could redraw those districts, if I remember correctly. So legally they could, but that not likelihood of that happening is not very great. So Democrats that are really worried think that the Republicans could be in charge of the state Senate, state Assembly for the next 10 years. And Republicans obviously are hoping that would happen. But as I said before, you don't always know and you can't always predict exactly how people are going to move around and what areas are going to grow and shrink.
It's my understanding that Iowa is a state that has a very fair redistricting process. And I'm sure there are other states in the country that have processes similar to Iowa. What makes Iowa different? And do you ever see a time when in Wisconsin we'd adopt something like that, or are both parties sacredly happy to have the ability to gain the advantage every 10 years, depending on where we're at in the process?
What we're talking about here is a bipartisan or nonpartisan commission of some sort that would design the districts and make them perhaps more competitive so that you've got for more contest, basically. Right now, Wisconsin has a lot of districts, legislative districts, that are either very Republican or very Democratic. And there's less competition. And frankly, that makes legislators a little more extreme in both directions, frankly. So Iowa, years ago, passed legislation to create a commission so that the lines would be drawn in a more competitive basis, not based on party lines and, try to advantage one party or the other. I have to tell you that the Democrats under Governor Doyle had control of the Senate and Assembly. Several years ago, they could have passed legislation creating a commission to redistrict. They chose not to do that. And they now are unhappy with the fact that the Republicans are in charge and are drawing the lines. Well, they had their chance to make this a little bit more neutral, chose not to, and so I don't expect it's going to change for a long time. I wish it had. I really believe, over time, I've come to believe that competition is more important than just having a homogenous district that is strongly Democratic and strongly Republican. I think that creates extremes in the legislature. And I really believe if a legislator has to win 52-48, has to pay a lot of attention to the 48. When you win 60-40, you don't have to pay attention to the 40%. And I think that's resulted in legislators being more extreme in the way they view and ideologically, frankly.
Joe Heim is a UW La Crosse political scientist. He spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about political redistricting. Next Tuesday's primary is the first election in Wisconsin after Republicans redrew political boundaries following the 2010 census. Next week on Newsmakers, what does the Affordable Care Act mean for people who use health care now and in the future? Our guest is a healthcare consumer expert who will avoid the political rhetoric and talk about healthcare reform. If you have questions about the Affordable Care Act, find out how to submit those questions at WPR.org/lacrosse. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Reisom, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at WPR.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.